participants, we will now begin today's conference call. I will turn it over to Scott Frazier.
Thank you, everybody. Sorry we're getting started a little late, but we have a great discussion ahead for you. My name is Scott Frazier. I'm with EPA's Office of Public Engagement, and today we're here to talk about the recent announcement for the Urban Waters Federal Partnership. And with us on the call, we have several agencies and their representatives here to give you an overview on this announcement. First off, we have the Domestic Policy Council on the line. We have the Environmental Protection Agency. We have DOI. We have the USDA's Forest Service, HUD, and the Economic Development Administration. So first I'd like to introduce Lauren Dunn. She's the Policy Assistant for the Urban Affairs and the White House's Domestic Policy Council. And she's just going to give a brief overview. And once we hear from Lauren, we'll have an overview from Roy Simon. He's EPA's Associate Chief in the Prevention Branch in the Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water. And he'll have about a five-minute overview. Next, from all of our participants, speaking participants from their agencies, we're going to ask them two questions to answer for you folks on the line. First, how will your agency contribute to this partnership? And the second question is how does this partnership advance the mission of your agency? So we'll get to those in a quick round robin. So with that, I'm going to start off here with Lauren Dunn with the Domestic Policy Council.
Thanks so much, Scott, and thanks everyone for joining the call this afternoon. As Scott mentioned, I'm Lauren Dunn. I am in the White House Domestic Policy Council, and I work with our urban policy team. And specifically, I've had the pleasure of working over the past year with all the agencies on the line today on the Urban Waters Federal Partnership. We were really pleased to release the partnership this morning in a great event in Baltimore at the Middle Branch Park in Baltimore City. My director, Melody Barnes, was there with Administrator Jackson, Secretary Salazar, the Deputy Secretary from HUD, and the Undersecretary from USDA, Harris Sherman. It was just a fantastic event. Senator Cardin was able to join us as well. And we're really pleased that this partnership is up and running and has announced 7 pilot projects. Roy's going to tell you the details of the partnership, but I just wanted to reiterate the White House's support for this effort. It's just absolutely integral that we are bringing agencies together to break down the silos within the federal government to make sure that the investments that we are making in communities are working together to revitalize those communities, create jobs, and improve the quality of life, and really support the work that's going on the ground in communities across the country. We're so pleased at the hard work that all the agencies on the line today have done to put this partnership together. We very much are looking forward to the next year of work, and we're very much looking forward to the opportunity to really engage and serve our community partners in the 7 pilot locations around the country and hopefully in many more places to come. As many of you may already be aware, this effort is not sort of a single effort in and of itself. The Partnership for Sustainable Communities is another similar effort in the Obama administration to really kind of think about how we are breaking down federal program silos to promote more efficient and effective use of federal resources and better target and coordinate our federal investments. We're also, delivering on the President's America's Great Outdoors Initiative, which really called on agencies to do more to support innovative community efforts to provide safe, healthy, and accessible outdoor spaces. We're just absolutely thrilled at the announcement today and looking forward to working with everyone on this call to realize the goals of the partnership. Scott, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Lauren. Again, we're going to have just a five-minute overview of the announcement today, and that's going to be presented by Roy Simon here at EPA. Roy?
Thank you. It's Roy Simon. I hope everyone can hear me. I'm in the Office of Water, and there's a large EPA team and a large team across all 11 agencies that are part of this partnership, including, as Lauren said, the White House. We had a lot of good effort with them. Thank you very much, Lauren, and thanks to the CEQ, Council on Environmental Quality, for their strong support. We have the EPA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior, Housing and Urban Development, Department of Transportation, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, National Oceanic, NOAA, EDA in Commerce, CDC, Centers for Disease Control in HHS, NIEHS, which is Health Sciences in HHS, and the Corporation for National Community Service. It's 11 agencies that came together to partner to achieve the goals that Lauren talked about. We are lucky and we are fortunate that our entire computer system works, and we now have a urbanwaters.gov website for all of you to look at as you listen to this discussion. And on the urbanwaters.gov website, we now have the press release that came out today, along with the vision, mission, and principles document of this partnership, a fact sheet, and a description of the 7 pilots. And we're also available to share your ideas and stories on Urban Waters on this website. So we look forward to you taking a look at that as this partnership gets up and announced. It didn't just start today, although it was announced today. We put a lot of effort over the past year and a half to make this partnership work. And we had an opening event in April of 2010, and EPA had been working from 2009 to 2010 on an Urban Waters initiative, and the administrator of EPA had sent us off in this direction in 2009, and we continued with a whole series of efforts. So we have a lot of activities around the country on Urban Waters. It's just this federal partnership is starting with seven pilots, but there's a lot of other Urban Waters efforts going on. And EPA also has an Urban Waters website which describes a lot of these other efforts. part of the real beginning of this, before the federal agencies got together, was there were a lot of outreach efforts that EPA did, and one of the key things that came back from most of these outreach discussions with around, you know, I guess many cities in the country and many smaller urban areas as well, was they wanted the federal agencies to get together. So that message came back. We took it to heart, and we moved forward with these 11 agencies. We will likely be adding additional federal agencies. We don't know yet, but we are going to try. We don't know which ones yet, but we're going to try and broaden the partnership beyond the current 11. One of the key things Lauren pointed out is that the Urban Waters Federal Partnership fits very well into the overall urban policy and the America's Great Outdoors effort of the administration. So we are working in urban areas, but a variety of these projects also have upstream into the watershed aspects. The first phase pilots are Anacostia River in D.C., Maryland, the Bronx and Harlem Rivers in New York, of course, Los Angeles River, Northwest Indiana, Patapsco River, where we were today, in Baltimore, in Denver, South Platte River, and in New Orleans, Lake Pontchartrain. So it's not just rivers, it's also lakes, and even groundwater is included, and that's in the principles. And we have agency leads in these pilots, but a variety of the agencies are involved in all in these area in these locations. One of the things you'll other than upstream, what you'll know is that from the mission and principles, from looking at these 7 pilots, they're serving underserved and distressed communities. And they're integrating natural resource and community and economic development activities, and as well as environmental justice. goals. So these three aspects to each of these pilots are well defined. For the integrating natural resource community economic development, I want to just point to Denver, which is looking upstream on the South Platte River. You have the upstream Forest Service taking the lead in the upstream area, and you have EPA taking the lead in the downstream area in the city of Denver with a different sets of partners, but in total it's a large group of federal agencies with states and locals and community members. In each of the locations, not only did the federal agencies get together and talk, but they've also been talking with a full range of stakeholders. The reason why we chose these seven is because they already had a variety of urban waters activities going on, economic activities, social activities, and natural resource activities, and environmental activities. And because of that, they were ready to build on the current activities with a broader-based partnership. So now we have these seven, and they are not only beginning, but they already have reached out to a whole set of stakeholders, which was quite obvious today in Baltimore, and will, at this point, at the announcement, will in fact be engaging with a broader range of stakeholders at each of these locations to begin a real discussion on what exactly the partnership can do to assist with local needs and local ideas and local efforts. The states are also involved to some extent and will be more involved in each of these locations. Let me just conclude by saying that we definitely want to thank the United States Forest Service for taking the lead on pulling off the announcement event today. All the agencies were represented there. EPA had a whole team there, and the other agencies had numerous people there to help kick this off. We really believe that this is an excellent way to implement a partnership, and we are hoping that as we move forward, we're going to achieve a variety of activities. Each of the locations have a description of what they're doing now and what they could be doing in the future on the urbanwaters.gov website, and we look forward to you looking at those descriptions of the details. So, Sky, I think I'll turn it back now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Roy. So, again, we're just going to go through the list of folks and the agencies here and ask those questions again. How will your agency contribute to this partnership, and what does this partnership advance, and how does this partnership advance the mission of your agency? And I know for the overview that Roy had, it was about 5 minutes or so, but please just keep it to a few words, because we do want to hear from the folks that have called in today their questions. So I'm going to go down to that roster that I mentioned, but let's start with Department of Interior John Tubbs. Okay, John wasn't able to join just yet. So how about with USDA Forest Service, Alice Ewan?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Alice Ewan with the U.S. Forest Service. I work in the Urban and Community Forestry Program, and I think the first question was regarding what we're doing now in the partnership, and the Forest Service is doing a variety of work in the pilot locations as well as across the country through three different main branches of the Forest Service. We have a research and development team with field stations across the United States. Baltimore is actually a location where we have one of our urban field stations, and the Forest Service has been working hard on urban ecological research. We have a 20-year commitment in Baltimore to research and development. We also have our National Forest System, which certainly is an important source of clean drinking water for cities, and as we look at what forests do for America, we're very mindful of the provisional services that forests provide. And then we have a state and private forestry division, which is what I'm part of, and that's really working with the nation's forests that are not federal forest lands. So in Denver, we have a lot of work going on, as was mentioned earlier, where the Forest Service has been working to protect drinking water supply in the headwaters. In Baltimore, we have a research and cooperative effort going on. We also are working to lead a pilot location in the Northwest Indiana Calumet River area. I think the second question you asked was our mission. The Forest Service mission is to sustain the health, productivity, and diversity of the nation's forests and grasslands to meet the needs of present and future generations. And when we look at that, we're really looking across the landscape at all of the nation's forests, even urban forests, not just what the national forests are doing. So we're very excited to be part of this partnership. We've enjoyed the collaboration so far and look forward to working on this initiative in the coming year. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Alice. Next, we'd like to hear from Michael Friedberg with HUD.
Yeah, hi, this is Michael Friedberg. I'm with the Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities. And I think I want to make two quick points. First of all, as was mentioned earlier, HUD and EPA, along with the Department of Transportation and USDA, already have a very active partnership, as I'm sure many of you know, the Partnership for Sustainable Communities, where we are working together to promote sustainable development in a variety of ways, already looking at and have provided grants to local communities to do regional and community planning around water issues, transportation issues, housing and economic development issues. So this partnership is very much an extension of and built on the platform that we have built through that partnership. Very specifically, I think HUD itself is not a clean water agency. Our work really is going to start primarily at the water's edge, to the extent that there are resources needed to do waterfront development, whether that's parks or trails or residential or commercial development that is supportive of the water cleanup efforts. HUD has a variety of resources, primarily through programs such as the Community Development Block Grant Program, that communities can use for that purpose. Those resources are driven and controlled by local communities, so we're not in a position to direct communities to use these resources, but we can help facilitate the coordination of those resources with the environmental and other resources that the other agencies are contributing. With regard to the mission of HUD, I think I've essentially addressed that. You know, our mission is a decent, safe home for every American family and a suitable living environment. And clean and healthy water is critical to that second goal, which is a suitable living environment. So I think you're seeing a very good direction here through this partnership, where we can bring together our economic development and community development resources with the environmental resources of some of the other agencies.
Thank you, Mr. Friedberg. I believe that John Tubbs, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, has joined from DOI. Is that, can you hear us?
I can hear you. I was just on another line. So, yes, I'm here. And from a DOI perspective, the Urban Water Federal Partnership is a great opportunity to build on a number of existing programs that cross our agency. Under the banner of the America's Great Outdoors, the National Park Service is leading an effort to reconnect people to urban parks and urban waters. To do that, we have to both work with our fellow federal agencies, but more importantly, listen to the local stakeholders who live in the neighborhoods and the communities. So this partnership, which is bringing together economic development agencies and natural resource agencies, as well as regulatory agencies, have the opportunity to bring a host of tools to bear on trying to provide a better and safe place for urban communities to recreate and reconnect with America's great outdoors. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service has refuge areas in many large metropolitan areas and is excited to work with our fellow agencies on projects and opportunities to bring youth especially out to our great rivers. The United States Geological Survey is the science arm of DOI and can provide tools such as GIS mapping. We're certainly working hard with our federal partners to identify all of the great projects within these watersheds so that we can provide a more coordinated approach and information to communities so that they can see all the investment that is, in fact, going on in these streams and lakes. And we have the Bureau of Reclamation out in the West, which is one of the largest water providers in the world, they can bring resources of recreation opportunities and great engineering to the table. So within DOI itself, we have a group of federal agencies that are partnering, and now the Urban Waters Federal Partnership just allows us to reach out to the 11 agencies that have signed, and we're looking very much forward to the next year as we accomplish some great steps for impoverished communities and reconnecting the youth to the great outdoors.
Thank you, Mr. Tubbs. Next, we're going to hear from Deborah Bevan. She's with the Economic Development Administration, and she's in EDA's Philadelphia Regional Office.
Good afternoon. This is Deborah Bevan. I'm with the EDA in Philadelphia. And EDA is very proud to be a part of this partnership and very excited to be able to work with the other partners around the federal government to bring about more opportunities for the local communities. EDA's mission is that of one that creates an environment that assists in the creation of new jobs or retaining jobs. We have many investments that have been made in Baltimore City and in the state of Maryland, in fact. But what we do is we focus on distressed communities that have either high unemployment or low per capita, and bring opportunity to those communities in the form of grant dollars for public works infrastructure projects, global mitigation, environmental, economic adjustment for studies, and addressing sudden impact, loss of jobs. And we even have a university center program that funds university centers around the United States that will assist the communities in which they are located. As far as what I think that our agency can bring to the table and will is we have local partners in the state of Maryland. We call partnerships with the planning economic development agencies around the state, and we work with them year-round with a planning document where they actually use the time to and the funds that we provide to them to identify needs and assets that they have to continue growing and taking advantage of what they have and addressing the needs that they need to bring about. The public partnerships that we have already on grant, I think, as we start building out and working this program that the public waters and the partnerships will be working with. Working waterfronts will mean working and with job creation, and EDA will be able to hopefully to be able to assist those communities in creating incubators and training and infrastructure projects as we move this project forward.
Thank you, Ms. Bevan. Our final speaker is Simon Hahn, with a national program manager with NOAA.
Okay. So NOAA also has a lot of programs in line with the vision of the Urban Water Initiative. including those related to cleanup of hazardous waste, contaminated properties, also restoration of those properties. There's a lot of sites in urban areas that are in need of cleanup and restoration from both human, economic, and ecological reasons. We also are involved in coastal management with it and the coastal programs within the state. So in those particular states that have a coastal program, there's a lot of education and water quality monitoring and a lot of educational type of opportunities for interaction there. And through the Sea Grant program, in a similar manner, we conduct a lot of research, including economic valuation of resources, which can be pretty important in making the case for restoration in urban water areas. Let's see. We've also got some resources available to help some communities plan for climate change and climate adaptation strategies. And we have a habitat restoration component in Baltimore. We've funded some removals of dams, fish barriers. And then we also have some conservation type programs where communities can apply to put priority properties into a conservation status. So, again, all these programs are very interactive with the public, and so I think we can help out in many ways and look forward to it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hahn, and thanks to all our speakers today. So now at this point we're going to turn it over for questions, so we hope that that you have some questions for our folks on the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question or if you have a comment, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Norris McDonald, Center for Environment.
Bishop, create jobs via replacement of combined sewers and combined sewer overflow systems, which would also help treat the poison runoff problem, and also replace drinking water lines, particularly in the urban areas of Washington, Baltimore, and New York. Hello?
I'm sorry?
So are you directing your question to someone in particular?
Just to anyone on the line who wishes to address it.
Okay, great. Anybody want to take that one?
I can, as EDA.
Thank you.
EDA does provide funding to public entities for drinking water infrastructure as well as sewer improvement plans and improvement projects. So that would be a project that EDA would be able to look at and down the road, depending upon the eligibility of the applicant and meeting the goals and guidelines of EDA's regulations, that would be a project that EDA would possibly, along with other federal partners or state partners, might be able to assist the community.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Charles Allen with City of New Orleans.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity and this great news here. Did I hear you correctly just now say that perhaps EDA and other partners could help local municipalities in addressing, let's say, underground piping of water and just those kinds of water infrastructural needs in a community?
And the infrastructure must be connected to the creation or retainment of jobs. Our funding is requires a public partnership, public and private partnership. So any projects that may be serving a manufacturer or a new project or a new company that wants to locate in the area and you need infrastructure expansions or improvements, EDA would look at that project as possibly being eligible.
Okay, okay. And then my next question is relative to the various stakeholder meetings and forums that you all will be rolling out soon. I anticipate that it's in those forums and meetings that we can further generate some ideas for projects within our respective regions, correct?
Yeah. Hi, this is Roy Simon. I'm happy to take that as a generic question across all the sites. The answer is yes. The entire purpose and in directly written into the principles of the partnership is to engage local organizations, local elected officials, local community groups, and individuals who are interested in this process so that specific projects, specific activities, specific job creation efforts, and any of the other possible urban waters related and surrounding community related activities would be up for a discussion with all those involved in the locations. The exact processes will be up to the leader, combined leadership of the federal agencies involved that would engage states and locals in at that discussion about what the process would be. So the substance can be wide-ranging. The process will have to play out in each of the locations.
Gotcha, gotcha. That sounds very exciting. We look forward to it. Thank you for thinking of us down here.
Your next
okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Dolish with NRPA.
Hi, thanks. This is we very much appreciate hearing that all the federal agencies are talking to each other now, and this seems like a quantum leap forward to have this kind of partnership building. What will be most valuable to people on the ground, especially in the 7 pilot communities that you named and potentially in others that are going to be selected for this partnership, is to have a go-to list of people who are primary contacts within the agency. For our part, the local park and recreation agencies who may have great ideas, great community contacts and support, they don't know how to interface with all the federal agencies. So if there's some central place with an easy-to-follow way to contact people, it will be a big boost in terms of facilitating communication and new partnerships.
Hi, this is, and if you don't mind, this is Roy Simon again. You will be happy to know that we have a lead person or persons named and email and even phone numbers on the background, on the 2-page descriptions of each of the 7 pilot locations that is on the urbanwaters.gov website, and those leadership people, in this case in Baltimore today and on the 2-pager, Dr. J. Morgan Grove, already has a federal, a working federal partnership group, so that they would be able to bring you into that group that's already been formed.
Great, thank you.
This is Alice Ewan from the Forest Service. I just might add too that as you have even questions but also ideas, there is a specific link on the urbanwaters.gov website. As you scroll down the page, there's a bullet that says share your ideas and stories with a link where we're going to be collecting information. So we can also, when it's pilot specific, get that out to the particular region or area of interest.
Great, thanks. If I could just add to that, this is Michael Friedberg from HUD. Unlike the other agencies, we have a point of contact in each of our field office in each of the pilot locations. And I hear your suggestion. I think that if we can find a way to get our points of contact posted on the website as well, so that if you have a specific question for us, you can get directly to the person that you need to talk to. Clearly, that is one of the primary goals of this pilot initiative, which is hopefully cut through some of the red tape that you can often encounter by getting to the right people more quickly than you might otherwise do.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Dan Wilson with Imbrium Systems.
Yeah, my question is, how do you expect the private sector to be involved in this program?
Yeah. Hi, this is Roy Simon in EPA again. Private sector is going to obviously be critical to the success of all of the all the partnerships. There is a open need for what we call all stakeholders to participate locally in these efforts, so that the partnership will and is intended to engage with all local stakeholders. State, local, private, government and nonprofit and private for-profit in all these efforts. So there's no intention to exclude. There's no hope to exclude. In fact, it's the completely opposite. We want to include all those private nonprofits and private for-profit organizations that can participate in any of these locations that are having urban waters partnerships. Does anybody else want to talk about that? Some of you already work. We do some of that work, I guess, through the brownfields process, work with some for-profit companies.
This is Simeon Hahn. Several of the pilots and several, like, waterfront restoration groups already have, pretty good federal and private partnerships, and also with the state government. So, in many areas, some of those partnerships have already been forged and planning and such, and, we plan to tap into those mechanisms.
And your next question comes from the line of Marjorie Jackson with Elizabeth River Project.
Hi, guys. I'm wondering if assistance is limited to the pilot urban waterways that have been identified so far, and if additional waterways will be selected anytime soon.
Hi, and others can join in. This is Roy Simon again. We have... I think on EPA's website for urban waters, urbanwaters.gov has sort of several aspects. One is the federal partnership. Other EPA and other agencies also have aspects of their websites that describe things. We have a variety of efforts that went on in a wide range of local communities other than through this federal partnership. And in fact, we had a grant with what's called a river network, which you all may know. Anyway, I think they're out of Portland, that announced 10 sites, eight of which were not the seven pilots. So there's a wide range of localities that are already involved in urban waters activities, partly through the EPA efforts. The seven pilots will be likely be expanded. I can almost guarantee they're going to be expanded, but I can't tell you where or when.
Okay, so the federal partnership that you're speaking of today, though, is limited to helping those seven pilots. Is that correct?
The 11 agencies are now involved in those seven areas, but there is a wide range of other local areas that have other federal aid, more than one federal agency involved already, even though they're not part of this urban waters federal partnership yet. So we're starting with the seven, and then we'll expand from there. For the 11 agency urban waters federal partnership that is on this website, urbanwaters.gov.
Yeah, and this is Alice Ewan with the Forest Service. I think as partners, we're already talking about how we embed principles from the Urban Waters Partnership into our
program delivery for our broad program. So all of the agencies have programs that are in place. I know in our case, we work through state forestry agencies throughout the country. So I think it may be, you know, something where you'll see some of the principles and partnership approaches that we're testing in this partnership start to get integrated into our program delivery.
This is Simeon Honigan. I just put in a word for Marjorie's River, the Elizabeth River Project. That was one I was referring to. It already has an excellent public-private relationship, and one where there is been some targeted efforts by the federal government. You can always do some more, but it's a good example of one where the urban water type thing's already working to some extent. Federal.
Simeon, that's in New Jersey, right?
No, it's in Virginia.
Virginia, I'm sorry.
We now have four participants remaining in the queue, and our next question comes from the line of Eddie Bautista with New York City Environmental Justice Alliance.
Hi. I just want to applaud everyone for the announcement today. This is really welcome news for a lot of our communities. A couple of our members in the South Bronx have been active on water restoration, waterfront restoration issues for years, particularly in the Bronx River and Harlem River. And I heard someone mention there's going to be a commitment to dealing with climate adaptation, community resiliency issues. And I just want to make sure that we flag for folks that a dynamic we found in New York City that we believe is not unique to New York is this the concentration and clustering of heavy chemical and industrial uses in communities of color that also tend to be in storm surge zones. So we, for example, among the areas we're going to need help in New York City is helping communities not just figure out best management practices, but also figuring out how to do the best kind of storm surge modeling projections, the kind of things that cities are not well equipped to, at the moment to really grapple with. So we just want to flag for folks that when you talk about climate adaptation and resiliency, pay particular attention from an EJ perspective to clusters of industrial activity in storm surge zones.
That's a good point. This is Simeon Hahn again. And our Coastal Services Center at the River Rally spoke about some tools that are already available for communities to plan for adaptation, and it includes having a good understanding of where these type of facilities you described are, and having management applications for that, and also under the coastal programs, and this is a lot driven by the states, they're required to develop adaptation plans. And but the point you make about not forgetting where there's concentrations of contaminants and such is well taken, and certainly the environmental justice issues are well taken as well.
The voice on. Can I just say what that question raises is that we have run phone calls among the seven locations for over 4 or 5 months. What that raises is that there's going to be different priorities in different locations, but that all the information that's going to be created from these seven locations is not only going to be traded among the seven locations, but it's also going to be pooled to be available across the country through a variety of conferences, events, websites, and other activities, so that if, in fact, we get excellent models of implementation of activities that deal with storm surge zones in environmental justice communities, we're not going to keep it only in New York City with the great ideas that will occur. We want to spread the good information around the country as fast as we can through the current media approaches.
Mm.
Okay, your next question comes from the line of Mary Pelletier with Park Watershed.
The Urban Waters Partnership is very excellent, and this question relates to the last comment, which is that we need case study examples of successful precedents. And we know that there's a number of cities, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, parts of Washington, D.C., and Seattle, that have been involved in doing urban waters or green infrastructure, low-impact development work for over a decade now. And I think those case studies would be very helpful, especially not only case studies of single types of projects like stormwater storage beneath athletic fields, projects that could be repeated and the technical specifications can be shared around the country, but also examples of this kind of collaboration among partners such as yourselves. We're trying to encourage the City of Hartford to do integrated design around city parks so that the city parks are excellent and safe and accessible within walking distance to employment and housing. And I wonder if you have any comments on how soon that kind of information can get out on the website.
Hi, this is Roy Simon again, and others who know more than I on this issue. We have some information already on epa.gov/urbanwaters as well as urbanwaters.gov, so we got a couple of websites. And we had a recent conference, a River Rally, that had a bunch of tools that can be used across all the agencies that we're going to get out on, I think, on this website soon. And there's some case studies here, and then obviously you have the 7 that we just put up, and I think there's more case studies under something called What Are Communities Doing? So I would guess we're going to try and publish everything we can as fast as we can up on the website. And I guess other agencies are going to do the same.
Yeah, and this is John Tubbs from Department of the Interior. One of the priorities that Secretary Salazar has set forth in the America's Great Outdoors for us to really champion is great urban parks. And so the National Park Service is taking a lead on a couple of our urban water pilots, the Bronx, Harlem, and the Anacostia. And so we're fairly strong up in the Indiana pilot. So we're looking to the Park Service to really provide a leadership role on connecting urban parks and urban rivers, and in particular providing safe places for families to go out and enjoy a nice day. So as soon as we can get that information connected with EPA's leadership on the web page, we'll get those up.
This is Michael Friedler from HUD. I think you've pointed to clearly one of the roles, the strong roles that the federal government can play in this area and others, which is information sharing. And I think we're all committed to finding ways to get these kinds of best practices, both in the pilot communities as well as everywhere else, kinds of things that you're doing up in Hartford, for example, onto the website that we've created for this partnership. And I know through our own Sustainable Communities Partnership, we will also have a clearinghouse for best practices. But we definitely hear that suggestion, and I think we're on the same page in that regard.
Thanks.
And at this time, I show we have two questions in queue, and I have been informed to let the participants know to keep them brief. Our next questions come from the line of Diana Toledo with River Network.
Hello. Yes, I think I want to echo some of the comments of others in applauding this effort. It's already come up a couple of times over the conference call that River Network is administering a grant for EPA through which we've selected 10 communities. It's an urban waters capacity building grant. And I look forward, I don't know to what extent some of the other federal agencies in this partnership are familiar with those projects, but I hope that we'd have an opportunity to share some information about the excellent proposals that we are both funding and a lot that we didn't have a chance to fund, because there's great urban waters work being done by NGOs and universities and local government across the country. And so in particular for those 10 communities, it would be great to share some information so we could find opportunities to engage the other federal agencies. But also, as the partnership is looking to expand beyond the 7 pilots, There were many, many excellent proposals, and I hope that that might be a place to begin looking to see whether some of those might make sense for that expansion.
Which website can we look at for those 10 locations?
I'm not sure that we just made the announcement a couple of weeks ago. We don't have yet the summary up on the website, but we're finalizing the text, and I think in the next week it should be able to go up. So through Serbi Shaw as our main contact, we can certainly take that information back to the partnership so you can get them online probably in the next few days.
Our next question comes from the line of Christoph Tulu with DDOE.
Hi, yes, this is DDOE. Thank you for this initiative. I do have a question. We have three, for the here in the Anacostia, we have three very strong programs, our Fishable Swimmable Program, a Corps of Engineers strategy, and our Chesapeake Bay Watershed Implementation Plan, all directed at restoration of the Anacostia. So I guess I'm wondering how these agencies will complement, make sure that their activities and programs complement those three programs that we already have going strong, and wondered if there were any grant funds that would be available with that. Thank you.
Yeah, this is John Tubbs with DOI. We initiated the federal partnerships meeting in the spring, and there were 50 representatives of federal agencies. I believe there was upwards of 15 different federal agencies all amassed. And the Army Corps of Engineers restoration plan, because of the large amount of stakeholder involvement in the community, became a centerpiece opportunity for the federal agencies to start saying, okay, how can we build upon this already created restoration plan? So I think we've got a mix of agencies. We're very much aware of some of the strong leadership that the watershed has, and we're beginning outreach. There's been, I think, two meetings with Anacostia watershed groups just to begin discussion of the Urban Waters Federal Partnership opportunities. There isn't specific grant monies within the Department of the Interior that we've added towards the Urban Waters Federal Partnership, but under the America's Great Outdoors Initiative, we are looking for full funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And within that context, we are certainly looking at urban waters as one of the priorities that grant funds would be awarded to. And so that's probably the most significant increase that would be connected to this from a DOI perspective.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Well, thank you again. This is Scott Fraser with EPA's Office of Public Engagement, and there may be other questions that folks on the line didn't get a chance to ask. So I want to leave my email address to send your question. I am at fraser.scott@epa.gov. That's FRASER.scott, SCOTT, at epa.gov. And before I turn it over back to Roy Simon to conclude our call, I did want to let folks on the line know that Tony Morales has joined us, and she's with the Deputy Associate Director for Communities at the White House Council on Environmental Quality. And Tony, would you be able to give a couple concluding remarks on today's call?
Yes, thank you so much. I think that everybody on this call has done tremendous work over the year. Lauren Dunn with the Domestic Policy Council has done a phenomenal job along with all of the partners that really did a terrific rollout today. And Chair Setley, Nancy Setley, our chair here at the Council on Environmental Quality, really, it was a really special event for her. She lived previously in California. She did some work actually on the LA River, and so she knows how important it is to take care of our waterways and also as a mechanism for fostering growth, economic involvement, but also working with local, state, and tribal officials to really get what we need to get done, especially in these areas that have been overlooked or overburdened. So I just want to say thank you, and CEQ, you know, obviously our participation in this has more to do with America's Great Outdoors, but it's really reconnecting people to their waterways and places where people should be able to enjoy them and have accessibility to them. So just want to say thank you and echo all the comments that everybody's been making on this call. We appreciate it, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morales. Well, I'm going to turn it back over here to Roy Simon just for any concluding remarks.
Very briefly, we look forward in all these locations and any other locations that we're going to work in or that we're currently working in, and linking up all of the environmental-based, natural resource-based, and economically-based organizations, both federal, state, local, and private and nonprofit and for-profit, to try and move the effort forward to achieve the goals of the Urban Waters Federal Partnership. Rather than belabor everything, I encourage you to go to urbanwaters.gov and look at all the information, and particularly the vision, mission, and principles of this partnership. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I also want to let folks know on the line that today's conversation is going to be available on a transcript. We should have a digital copy on for an audio file for folks to follow up if they wanted to get the answers to those questions as well. So look for that. And that concludes our call today. Again, contact me if you have a question that did not get answered. And I do want to thank all of our representatives that were able to join us today to lead this discussion. So thank you, and that concludes today's call.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Presenters, please hold.